There's a sun coming up in my soul, in my soul. There's a sun coming up in my soul, in my soul. I see the light.
Books are there. deck. Now, because there was some discussion on this, you got to look on the back pages. Some people are saying, well, why isn't so-and-so in here because they're on the other page? And or why isn't this person put in that position? Look on the other page because they're on the back side of some of those, because some of them just wouldn't fit, so they went on the back side. All right. Also, the praise books are in. Remember last year we were on a spiritual journey with praising God? Well, we've got some more praise books back there at the entrance area. If anyone wants to get those, you're welcome to take those home with you and have another year of praise. How many of you are doing the chronological reading of the Bible? Okay, great. Now, I told you that the sermons are going to try the best we can to follow along with the chronology of the Bible. And by the way, Dan, is Dan still here?
I was going to say, I think they're still in class.
They're talking about the Bible. Anyway, Dan, our website, his Facebook page now has over 350 people that have signed up to read the Bible throughout the year. Isn't that great? And people are asking questions and whatnot. And I think that's just wonderful. That's great. All right. We do have an announcement we have to make. Many of you are aware of this, but we just want to be very open and public with this all. In December, we received a resignation letter from Kyle Stoker as far as the youth is concerned. Hear me out. Don't everybody have a heart attack on this one. He wanted to resign as a paid staff, but he wants to continue on as the youth leader working with the youth. So Kyle is still working with the youth. I still look at him as the guy I go to for the youth. So, but he just wants to do it a different way. He feels God has called him into a different way of doing this. This has it was not coerced by anyone, and it has nothing to do with what happened in November or anything like that. It is his decision, and I intend on using him still in the church. Matter of fact, I went to him today. I said, you know, I might need you on this day. And so I just wanted you to be aware of that. The board voted last Wednesday to for another staff search. We are looking for we're not quite sure what we're going to call it, but it's a 0 to 18 and the young families pastor. And kind of working in those areas here at the church. And so we're going to be in that process, and we're going to be starting the whole interview process and everything else that's going on. I have asked Earl, by the way, Superintendent Earl Mills is here. Everybody say hi to Earl. Oh, come on, people. Say hi to Earl. Okay. You got to give me a good impression. He's my boss. Come on. Anyway, I've asked Earl if he knows of anyone, so he might be that might fit in that position. So some of those things are happening. Okay, I am. Besides that, everything's in your bulletin for you to read today. We really don't need to do much else. Elders, we are having an elder meeting after the worship service for about 5 minutes. Earl's here for a reason. I'll just share that they're going to be praying. He wanted to pray for me. Many of you are not aware that I might be having some surgery coming up here in the next couple weeks. They found a mass on my kidney that's about the size of a football. So he came to pray because he's going to be gone. While I'm under the knife, you're going to be enjoying a cruise. What's wrong with that, Earl? You're going, I love it, man, I love it. So he came to pray. So if the elders were going to get together and pray, if anyone else would like to pray, we enjoy that too. So, okay, I don't have anything else. All right, by the way, it's non-cancerous, so we're okay. Okay, stand up and greet someone this morning.
Good morning again.
There, found it.
I think he was in these ones.
Because I was looking and he's not looking over here.
It was on those ones last
night. But hey, I'm just glad to hear any.
We need the Bible, don't we? Okay.
I thought there was a...
All right, our call to worship today is from the book of Job. It is actually one of my favorite verses. You can have more than one favorite verse, you know that. And so I got to get to it as soon as I find it because it's not up here. Okay, Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 26. It says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand upon the earth. And now hear this. This is up there. This is neat. I love this part. I always get a little emotional when I get to this part. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for your love upon us all. We pray that today our worship will be acceptable to you in all that we do, because you are worthy to be praised. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Stand with us, and we are here to praise the name of God.
Blessed be your name in the land. take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious
don't withhold your love from us. Arms open wide upon a cross. You give no matter what the cost. Jesus, we see you. All of these worlds your hands have made. A billion stars stretched out in space. These are just echoes of your grace. Jesus, we see you. You are the generous giver. Your mercy overflows. Your blessing is a river. On and on it goes. You are an endless fountain. You're filling up my life. My heart must sing your praises. Jesus, you be glorified. Giver, your mercy overflows. Your blessing is a river. On and on and on it goes. You are an endless fountain. You're filling up my life. My heart will sing your praises. Jesus, you be glorified. On and on and on and on, Jesus, you be glorified. On and on, on and on, Jesus, you be glorified. You're so much better, you're so much kinder than anything we think you are. Your love is deeper, your love is wider. Open our eyes to see you, God. You're so much better, you're so much kinder than so much kinder than anything we think you are. Your love is deeper, your love is wider. Open our eyes to see you, God. You are the generous giver, your mercy overflows. Your blessing is a river, on and on and on it goes. You are an endless fountain, you're filling up my life. My heart will sing your praises. Jesus, you be glorified. Jesus, you be glorified. Jesus, you be glorified.
up with me for prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, humbly acknowledging, Lord, that you are God. We are not, Lord. You care for each one of us, Lord. You provide for each one of us, Lord. You created us. You sustain us. You love each one of us, Lord. And you have a plan for each one of our lives, Lord. And for that, we are grateful this morning, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. The abundance that you give us each and every day. The jobs you provide, Lord. The families. This great country we live in, the freedoms we enjoy, all from you, Lord. You own it all. And for that, we are grateful and thankful this morning. Lord, as we each look into our lives, Lord, and those times we fail you, those times we sin, those times we fall short of the mark, Lord, for that we are sorry, Lord, and we ask forgiveness this morning. Each one of us struggle in a different area, Lord. We need strength. We need your strength, Lord. We need your help, Lord, to get through those times. We thank you for that. We thank you for answered prayer, Lord. You are amazing, Lord. And this morning, Father, we just give you thanks also for each person who's here and their many needs. But we know, Lord, especially, and we want to pray for Pastor this morning, Lord, as he prepares to have surgery. You would go before he and Polly, Lord. Just let that go well. Allow the doctors, Lord, to know exactly what needs to be done and be healed quickly and be back with us. For their grandson, Duke, Lord, I just pray for him this morning, little boy in a hospital, you know, and just be with the family. Just encourage them. May your medicine work. May the caretakers, Lord, know exactly what to do for Duke. Give him strength, Lord. Encourage the family. And for little Gracie over there in South Korea, Lord, we lift her before you too, Lord, and just pray that you would allow the doctors, Lord, to understand what's going on, Lord, and to help her with her headaches. We pray, also continue to pray for the Hurdle family, Lord. Just great to see Jan here this morning, Lord, and just pray with them as they grieve, Lord, the loss of Ron. And Lord, we all have many requests, many things on our hearts, Lord, that we might not make public. But you know each one. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would, through your great mercy and your knowledge, Lord, you know what each needs are. And like, Lord, I just pray that you would provide this morning. Now, Lord, as we go into the part of the service, Lord, where we look into your word, that Pastor brings your word this morning. Clear those things out of our minds, Lord, to distract us. Just allow us, Lord, to hear from you this morning. We desire, Lord, to hear from you this morning, Lord. We desire, Lord, that we be filled with peace and joy and hope and encouragement this morning, Lord. And just strengthen each one of us, Lord. Allow us each to leave here today, Lord, and to go out into this hurt and dying world, Lord, in our communities, those spheres of influence that we each have, Lord. Make a difference. We thank you now for this time, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Going to say, I'm the pastor, I can change things if I want. How about that? I know it does. So, I want to personally thank the praise team. Didn't they do a great job this morning? I think it was just great. we have a membership class going on right now, and I told the class, I said, you know, out of all the churches that I've pastored, you guys are one of my funnest churches. I just have a lot of fun here, and you guys are just great. And the worship is just tremendous as well. And I was listening to the third song, you know, God is so good, and it just really, really blessed me. And so that's what I'm talking to her about. Hey, we might want to change some things and whatnot. Okay, go in your Bibles. we're looking at the book of Job. Of course, you know that's the books that we've been looking at in the chronological reading of the Bible. Job is a book that if it's chronological, we think Job lived about the same time as Abraham, maybe a little bit before. He was a patriarch. And so that's why we read like the first 11 chapters in Genesis, and now we're going into the book of Job. We'll get done with the book of Job, and then we'll go back to Genesis once again. And that's, like I said, the Bible is not written in chronological order, even though our minds thinks it is, but it is not. So we look at a man named Job, and there's one thing that I always have to understand when looking at Job and also being a pastor. One of the first things I had to learn as a pastor is how to say three words, okay? How to say three words. You know what those words are? It's not I love you. It is I don't know. See, a lot of times pastors feel like they have to have all the answers. Many times we don't have the answers, and we just don't know. Especially as we're dealing with life issues, as we deal with life issues of parishioners. I mean, how do you explain to a family that when their loved ones who was called to the ministry and had just gotten engaged, went to Huntington University, didn't go to that university, I think they went to Grace, but went to Huntington University and wanted to look at the fountain that was there, and they put their feet in the fountain and they were electrocuted because there was a short. How do you explain that to a family? How do you explain, and I shared it last week, a friend of mine, him and his family were murdered a number of years ago. How do you explain that to a family? How do you explain when issues of life continue to come up and it just does not make sense? And I look at a man like Job that was rich, rich beyond means, rich beyond what you could always want. And here you have this man named Job that lost it all in 2 days. The first day he lost it all, and the next time, whenever this happened, but then he lost his health. How do you explain to a man like Job that was praising God, was known for his righteousness, and then all of a sudden loses everything, and it doesn't make sense? You see, one day the Bible says he lost all of his oxen and donkeys, and then as the servant came and told him about that, then another servant came and said all of his sheep and servants were gone, and then got done with that, and then it said that the camels, someone came and stole their camels, and then a big whirlwind came and killed all of his children. I mean, I could care less about the camels, sheep, and donkeys and oxen. Children. Now they're all gone. Then I have a wife that comes up to me and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, I want to get a little bit of explanation on this. The exact Hebrew word for that actually means blessed. So there was some discussion on if it should be blessed or cursed, but irregardless, she told her husband, just die. I mean, she was so depressed. Do you blame her? You know, there's been sermons written about this poor woman, but you got to understand, she was going through it too. She just lost all of her income. She has lost, and now, and her husband, eventually he loses his health, so she's taking care of her husband. She's lost all of her children, and she's lost all of her income. She's lost all of her wealth that is now gone. Well, do you think you would be depressed? What is Job's response? By the way, I'm going to need some water up here. We're going into this again. If somebody can hand me some. Thank God. Hey, thanks, guys. The power I've got, man. By the way, when they found the cyst, it was because they were trying to figure out why I'm coughing all the time. So that's what led to this. Okay, this is Job's response. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell on the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And may the name of the Lord be praised." And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Austin. Okay. So notice what he did. He started praising God. That makes no sense, does it? I mean, we want to curse God. God, why are you doing this and whatnot? But he started praising God. Now, okay, so we're going to look at Job today. And what I want to do is I want to look at some lessons. I want to look at some lessons about God, but I also want to look at what his friends did wrong. It's always easier to look at what things are wrong, but I want to stop on what his friends did right. And I want to talk about how we as Christian church can minister to those who are in need. Okay, so here we go. So what do we learn? Well, if you read the Bible, you'll notice that at the beginning of Job chapter 1, the angels, there's God, and the angels were coming, and the angels were giving an account of what they did to God. So they are sharing what they did. Another one of the accounts was Satan. Here comes Satan. He has to stand before God, and he has to give an account for what he's doing. Once again, doesn't make sense to me. Because here you have Satan, the great adversary, and he's giving an account to God. So here it raises the question, why does God allow Satan to exist? Even if Satan has to give an account, it boils down to one statement. You want to know what it is? I don't know. Theologians for years have been trying to figure this out. Why does God allow evil to exist? We can talk about the fact that we live in a fallen world and whatnot, but it boils down to the fact we don't know. God is God, and we have to trust him. He's smarter than me. But Satan stands before God, and God says, consider my servant Job, and how much he praises me, and how much he serves me. And Satan says, well, you know, he only does that because he's rich, and you've blessed him so much. You know, if you take that all away, he'll curse you. And so, God said, go ahead. And so Satan comes and he takes all this stuff away from him, and Job has nothing left. And there he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'll but depart. The Lord gives and the Lord has taken away. Blessed may the name of the Lord be praised. What does that say? Job recognized that everything belonged to God. Do you know that? Everything belongs to God. Even your stuff belongs to God. And God can do with it whatever he wants. You know, it's easy to stand up here and say this church belongs to God because we've dedicated it to the Lord, but it really boils down to this. Everything, including your bank account, your car, your house, your shoes, everything belongs to God. The Bible even says that in the book of Psalms. Okay. So God is God, and we have to understand that he can do whatever he wants. Job recognizes that God is God. Now the neat part is, God can do whatever he wants. That is tempered by three things. God's love, God's justice, and God's mercy. So we don't have a God up there that says, let's see if we can make people miserable today. Let's see what we can do here. What is he saying? He says, I love you, and there's a purpose behind everything that we do. Romans 8:28 comes out and talks about all things work together for good those that love the Lord. So, can there be a purpose? Well, who all remembers the Elliots? Not our Elliots, other Elliots. From the 1950s. 1950s, there was a movie called, I just lost it. End of the Spear, that was written about them. The Elliots were missionaries who went to Ecuador, and while they were in Ecuador, they wanted to reach an unreached tribe for Jesus Christ. And they went to that tribe, and they were killed. The men were killed. We don't see much after that except for this. Because of the sacrifice of those men, that tribe eventually became Christian. The man who killed his father, one of the Elliots' father, is now the adopted grandfather. His name is Micaiah. Is now the adopted grandfather of the child who lost his dad. Get on YouTube. It's a great story. I've listened to this guy. And he talks about how thankful he is that they came and they showed him Jesus. And so we see a purpose in that and a purpose in that death. So God in his wisdom sometimes allows us to go through some of this stuff for his glory. So that's one reason. There's another reason. It boils down to this. That's life. We live in a sinful world. And because of that, we will deal with issues in our lives. We will get sick. There will be death. It will happen. And so we learn that about God. We also know, we learn that Satan is under the authority of God. Satan cannot just do everything that he wants. He is not just doing everything. He is still under the authority of God, and God still tempers him. Can you imagine if Satan was not tempered, what he would do to this world? Can you imagine that? Sometimes we think he has full reign. He does not. But just he would just destroy everything because this world proclaims God's glory. So he cannot do whatever he wants. So why does stuff happen? Why does things happen? Why do people who maybe drink 20 packs of beer a day and smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day live to 110, while sometimes people who are taking care of their life and doing absolutely everything right die at the age of 21? Well, why is it that you see people are struggling to get pregnant and these great beautiful families that have godly people can't get pregnant, while some other people can push out a baby every day? Not quite. Why is it that we have some people who are so rich that don't know Jesus, and we have people who are so poor that know Jesus? Jesus answered that question in Matthew chapter 5, and he says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It really boils down to just life. Could you imagine if everyone who followed Jesus Christ was a millionaire? How many people would come to Christ? Man, I would. This church would be packed. That's not the way it works. Okay, so that's what we learned. So then when Job became ill, then his friends showed up. Okay, and the Bible says that his friends sat there for 7 days and they were in pure silence. First I thought they were in such awe of what had happened to Job, they didn't know what to say, but I found out later that that was cultural, that they would actually come and when somebody was suffering, they would literally sit there and be with them for 7 days. Irregardless, they came. And they were quiet for 7 days. And then his friends spoke. And they tried to equate wisdom into why this was happening. When I do funerals, there's two things I say to the family. The first thing I say is, watch mom or dad. So they're tired, they're going through a lot. Make sure you watch them. Make sure that you're ministering to them. And make sure that, if they get tired, it's okay for them to go and to go into the lounge and rest a little bit. And I'll tell you, none of them have ever taken that advice, but I always give it anyway. The second thing I always say is I look at people and I say, especially to the families, I said, you're going to see a lot of people who are going to come through the line. Always keep in mind this statement. People mean well. People mean well. Because you're going to hear some things that you're going to go, what? That's not helping at all. But people mean well. I think I shared this story with you, but when my dad died, I went to up in New Haven, Indiana, and someone from their church, she was a little off, and I knew she was, and she came to the funeral home, and I go, oh, man, I just do not want to talk to this lady because she doesn't say the most comforting things. And I just sat there, and I go, oh, she's coming. She came up. She shook my hand, and she left. And I go, oh, good. I don't have to listen to her, you know. And then eventually she came back around. She grabbed my hand, and she grabbed my brother's hand. And I go, oh, here we go. And she goes, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be praying for you every day for an entire year. I go, well, thank you. That's so nice. And then she spoke again. Because I want to let you know that every holiday, your dad won't be there. Every birthday, he won't be there. When you're going to want to reach down and get your phone, and he's not going to be there. And she kept going on and on and on. I'm going, oh, you're so comforting. Understand, people mean well. They just don't know what to say. So here's Job's friends. They come and they sit there, and then finally they spoke, and then they started to, they're trying to make sense of what is happening to them. And they're trying to make sense of what they're seeing, and they're trying to be wise, and they're trying to, and they're trying to, and they're actually making it worse, because even Job says this. He says, I've heard them, and you are miserable comforters. Job chapter 16, verse 2. I have heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you? What keeps you arguing? I also could keep speak like you if you were in my place. I could keep fine speeches against you and shake my head at you, but my mouth would encourage you. Why could he encourage you? I'll get to that soon. And comfort my lips will bring you relief. How can he encourage him? Because he went through it. Because he went through it. One of the passages I like to read is found in Corinthians. It says, praise be to the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and compassion, who comforts us in our time of need. How? Because so we can comfort those with the comfort we ourselves receive. Okay? So how many of you lost a parent like I have? So now you know what's needed. You know what's needed now. And so, but Job's friends, what did they do? They tried to bring reason to this. Sometimes we don't know what the reason is. It's just that we go through it. That's why I say it's called life. There are those that you know, and everybody here knows, it seems like every day they wake up and there's something, a new ailment that just hit them, and it's a legitimate ailment, not one of those psychological ones. It's a legitimate ailment. And then you got those that you know that have never been sick a day in their life and have been in every day at work and da-da-da-da-da. But it's life. But what the friends did wrong is they tried to give an answer where there was no answers. Sometimes the best answer is to say is, I'm so sorry. I don't know why you're going through this. Even if they ask you a question, I don't know. Okay? They equated health and wealth and prosperity to God's blessing. Boy, if that's the case, I just lost his name. then Hugh Hefner was a man of God. If health, wealth, and prosperity is a blessing from God, then Hugh Hefner is a man of God. And Mother Teresa is not. I think she died with $63 in her pocket. That was a mistake. They equated Job's plight with God's wrath. Even if the person deserves what they got, even if, you know, they lived a life of unhealthy living, then all of a sudden they're dying as a result of it. They know it. You don't need to go up and say, you know, you are dying because you ate 57 hot dogs every day for your whole life. They know it. But what did the friends get right? this is what I like. Okay? What did the friends get right? Okay, you can see that? We're still working on, okay, good. Okay. First thing they did is they dropped everything that they had and they went to be with their friend. They dropped everything that they had and they went to be with their friends. Ministry takes time. It involves presence. Not presence as in Santa Claus, but presence as in being there. Okay. They went and they sat with him for 7 days. They were just there. Do you know how important that is? I never realized it until my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and my dad died within a year and a half. How important it was to the ministry of presence. You don't need to say anything. They know you're there. And when you are there, here's just some personal advice. It has nothing to do with Scripture, but I think it's important. Always think a step ahead for that person. Because when they're in the midst of it, they're not thinking. So here's so-and-so. So-and-so is their spouse is in very grave condition, but at the same time, they got a kid that's in school. They're not thinking about their kid, who's because I'm thinking about the spouse. So what should you think of? Hey, I will go pick the kid up for you. What kid? Yours. Oh, I never thought of that. But you always make sure they're in control. That's why I always ask people. Can I do this for you? Now, there are times you just do it. Now, for example, if you call someone up and say, hey, can I bring some food for you? What are they going to say? No. Because they don't want to put you out. So I call up my daughter. Of course, you know, my daughter's in the hospital. Well, my grandson's in the hospital. We get the phone call on Friday that he's going to be taken to Parkview Hospital with RSV, and we're not to come up. Well, okay, we're not to come up. Why not? Because, well, it was because they didn't know when they were going to get there and all that stuff. So what did I do? I start packing bags for them. How do I know that? What to do? How many of you have ever had a kid in the hospital? You know what's needed. Praise be to God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all compassion, who comforts us in our time of need, so we can comfort those with the comfort we ourselves receive. So you know what the person needs, right? So we're packing up all this stuff. We start heading to the hospital. We get to Van Wert. My daughter calls up, says, don't come. Well, we're in Van Wert because you can't come in because of all the flu that's going around. Da, 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 da. I said, tell you what, we're going to go up there anyway because we're really coming to see you, not the baby. I had all the stuff I was going to give her. So now we're at the state line, and my daughter calls up and says, hey, guess what? You can come in. I said, good. I can see my grandson. Forget about you now, daughter. I'm just kidding. Okay. So now we get on the bypass, or 469, and we call her up. It says, okay, what food do you want? Oh, we don't need any food. What food do you want? I like Fazoli's. Oh. I was hoping she'd say Texas Roadhouse, but no. To me, Fazoli's is this. She loves, who likes Fazoli's? You guys are all sick. I knew she was going to say that because she likes the breadsticks. Okay. So when she finally said, I want Fazoli's, we had actually gone past Fazoli's. All right, we'll turn around. We turned around, went and got Fazoli's, brought it into her. And while we were walking in, because I understand I had a six-pack of Sprite for him, first thing she said was, oh, I'm glad you brought that because I was just sending Trevor down to get me one. Boom, went the Sprite. As always, pizza for Trevor. One of you guys gave me Skittles for Christmas. She has it now. don't know who it was, but it's been used from Skittles, boom, cookies, boom, lined it all up. Because I knew she would not leave her baby to get something to eat. Now, she asked us not to come yesterday for various reasons, but we're honoring that. You see what I'm saying? Ministry involves time. Ministry involves thinking a step ahead. Ministry also involves keeping them in charge. But ministry also involves shutting our mouths. Because they don't need an answer. We don't need to learn, teach them the theological what the theological reason is behind all this, because they're not thinking of God too much right now. Now, I've been there when they have. It's a beautiful thing. But notice what it says. I found this quote. I find it interesting that listen and silent are both spelled with the same letters, but you don't associate them as being connected. Sometimes just being there and not saying a word is the best response you can offer. Sometimes we say more in our silence than we do with our words. Oh, that's so important. As a pastor, one of the privileges I get sometimes is to be able to be there when a loved one is dying. And I call that an honor, because that's a very intimate time. When I get there, I usually go in there and I'll read some scripture for the loved one, what they have to look forward to, and I pray for them. And then I usually sit in the corner and I keep my mouth shut unless the family asks. I don't need to say anything. See what I'm saying? It's just the ministry of presence. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 says, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time for to be silent and a time to speak. A time to be silent and a time to speak. We don't have to give the answers. Maybe later, but not now. So what did the... Did I already do what they did right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did. Okay. So, I put this in. This is not in your notes, because after the notes, and then I had another thought. So that's why I said new note here. What else did they do right? They tried to, even though it was done wrong, point to God. They tried to, even though it was wrong, point to God. Are you as morbid as I am? That there's sometimes I sit here and says, you know, I would like to have this song playing when I'm dying as I'm going into the presence of God. Okay? And right now, it's Michelle singing. It's Michelle singing that song about, was it Come Jesus? Even though I love that song. It is the most beautiful. And I just sit here and just imagine Jesus coming. Either coming on his white horse to take, or coming to pick me up and take me into eternity. I just imagine it. And I always think about that. But the key is that you're looking to God. Christians, hear this. We, in the midst of whatever we're going through, should be the most joyous people, because as Job said, even though my skin is rotting away, I will see God. Do you hear that? I will see God. And I do believe as Christians, we can point them. Because we've got the hope. Now you got to be wise in doing it, but I mean, think about this. I think about the tornado that went through Salina here this last year, and a man, the one man who was killed in the state of Ohio with the tornado was a Christian, a very godly man. Anybody know him? Okay, but I think about this. He died because the car landed on him. And he died because he didn't hear, because the CPAP machine was running. But can you imagine this? Think about this. Going to sleep, and he's been wanting to see Jesus because his wife had died. He just wanted to be with Jesus. And can you imagine this? Going to sleep at night and waking up in the presence of God? I can just imagine when he's doing, going, whoa, this is weird. Where's my cat? Well, we know the answer to that. A few of you caught that. Okay. But can you imagine that? See, we should be the most joyous people. And as we face the trials, yes, they can be hard. Yes, they are difficult. I understand that. But we will see God, because I know my Redeemer lives. Now, I was going to show you a video, but I liked Abby's, or the group's song, so much that I asked them to sing it again, the third song about praising God. Can you do it? You can do it? Good. I want you to think about this. I will praise Him. And that's what the friends should have been doing. They tried to, but they were looking at it wrong. What Job was doing wrong, instead of, they should have been just saying, there's a God, and He's here, and He's going to embrace you, and da-da, 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 da-da. Now, let me close off, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be preaching the end of Job this week or not. But because Job remained faithful, what did God do? He blessed him back twice as much as what was taken. He was given back his children. It wasn't the same children. Have you ever noticed that he gave back double except for the children? Do you know what theologians are saying about that? They're in heaven. He was saying, the theologians are saying that was God's way of saying, your children are with me. Wow. Come on up, Abby. Like I said, I'm the pastor. I have the right to change it if I want. I want us to sing this because it really blessed. I actually had a tear in my eye. That's rare. But I just thought that was so beautiful what they sang, and it is so appropriate that we can praise God in the midst of our struggles.
Ask that you sing this with us, but I'm just going to let you sit in your seats. If you want to sing, excuse me, then sing along. If you want to pray and just listen to the lyrics and let them just kind of wash over you, then do that. But just let this song speak to you in a way that it hasn't before.
You're so good. You're so good. am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. This life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Sing that chorus one more time, just our voices.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
God, you're so good. In the midst of the joys and in the midst of tragedy, we know that you are God and you are so good. Father, we look forward to the day in which we see you face to face, when our flesh will be no more. We look forward to the day that you carry us across those portals. So Lord, I just pray that you'll be with this church and your blessing will be upon us and give us opportunity to minister to others. And many times it's just the ministry of silence. Lord, may it be so. May your blessing be upon all that is here. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Earl is with us today, and he's come to pray. He heard about my growth, and so he's going to pray, and the elders are going to pray as well. If you'd like to pray, you're more than welcome to come up and pray over me. If not, you're more than welcome to go home as well. So God bless you all.
Thank you.